John chapter number 6 this morning. John chapter number 6. We're going to start with verse 65. Verse 65 of John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we look at John chapter 6, starting with verse number 65. And he said, "Therefore saith I unto you, that no man can come to me except if it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want to talk on this subject this morning. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for the simple message from your word. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd meet with us. Teach us your simple truth. Help us to understand it, to apply it, and live according to it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We sang some of the songs today that on purpose because of the truth in the message today. Life consists of a multitude of decisions. Everywhere you go, everything you do is decision after decision after decision. How we make those decisions will show us what kind of life we have chosen for ourselves. Good decisions, sometimes. Bad decisions, sometimes. Foolish decisions, sometimes. Hurtful decisions, sometimes. And great decisions, sometimes. But I don't know about you. I don't like having to make those kind of decisions. I don't like making life-changing decisions. So how can I avoid that? How can I overcome making decisions where I might make a mistake? And I believe we can do that by simply following God's Word and allowing Him to make our decisions for us. The disciples were in that position in this reading today. They were at that point where they had to make a decision. They had to make a choice to continue on with Him, to suffer with Him, to serve Him, to sacrifice for Him, and to go on with Him. But I want you to notice in verse number 66, the words here. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. They had made some decisions. They had decided not to choose Jesus. Joshua made some decisions in the Old Testament. And Joshua had made the right decision. He had the right outlook to make the right decisions when he stated in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, these words, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua chose Jesus. He chose to follow God. He chose God's word. He chose God's way. He said, "I don't know what all these other things are, but I'm going to make a decision for me and my family. We're going to follow the Lord." Moses made a decision. He made a wise choice. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 3, "And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Here Moses was in the wilderness. He had already left Egypt. He was now about 80 years of age. And he had spent 40 years in Egypt, now 40 years out of Egypt. And here he sees this bush burning in the desert, yet the bush is not consumed. And he says, this is an amazing thing. I'm going to go over there and find out what that's all about. And what he found out, it was all about Jesus. It was all about a Savior. It was all about going to Egypt and delivering the message of deliverance. And getting the Israelites out of the land of bondage. Just like Jesus gets us out of the land of bondage to sin. Moses made a decision. We see also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, these words. By faith Moses, when he had come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm going to say this. I believe this. I know it's to be true. Sin does have pleasure connected to it. No question. But the question is, what do we want? Do we want sin for temporary pleasure? Or do we want to be with God and His people? And Moses made a choice. He said, I know the pleasures of sin. I don't want that. I'm going to make a choice. I want my life to count for God. And he chose to suffer for God's people, with God's people, rather than to have all the pleasures that Egypt could provide. Amazing statement. Bark, another Old Testament character out of the book of Judges chapter 5, he made a wise choice. In Judges chapter 5, verse number 3, he says this, Hear, O ye king, give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing the praises of the Lord God of Israel. That's what his intention was. He didn't want all the things that the world had to give. He wanted to do one thing, and that was to serve the Lord. Ruth made the wise choice. In Ruth chapter 1 and verse number 6, and Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Isn't that an amazing statement? She could have gone anywhere she wanted to go. She could have done anything she wanted to do. But she chose to go with God and God's people. David made a wise choice. In Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 7 it says, But as for me, I will come unto thy house. In the multitude of thy mercies. And in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. I suppose there are hundreds of examples of choices in the Word of God where an individual made a choice to follow the way of the Lord. So I want to give you three areas of choices today. Number one, we need to choose Jesus as our Savior. We need to choose Jesus as our Savior. Look in verses 67 again. And then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Look at verse 69. And we believe that thou art sure that we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We see that the disciples, the apostles, understood what was going on, and they made a choice, and that choice was Jesus. They knew that Jesus was the Savior. They knew that they could depend on Jesus to save their soul. Where else could we go? There's no one that has the Word of life. There's no one that tells us the words of eternal life except for thee. For we believe that thou art that Christ. It's not that thou art a Christ, not that thou art a God, but thou art that Christ. What Christ? The Christ that was given in the Old Testament, the Messiah. They knew what they were saying. They understood that. They said, I choose Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, the Bible says, For he said, I have heard thee in times accepted. And in the day of salvation have I scourged thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We need to choose Jesus as our Savior immediately. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7 and 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness. He's telling us that we need to allow the Holy Spirit to tenderize our hearts and not harden our hearts and receive Christ as our Savior. Hebrews chapter 3 again in verse 15 and 16 it says this, while it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of the provocation. Oh, almost the exact same statement. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all came out of Egypt by Moses. Why? Because they hardened their hearts. Wow, isn't that an amazing statement? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? Peter chose Him as Savior. We see that recorded in verse number 69. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure. It's not that they thought. We're sure of this. There's no question in our mind. I'm positive. That's another way we could say that today. And sure that Thou art that Christ. There's no other choice to make than to choose Jesus as our Savior. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 it says this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Doesn't say should be saved, doesn't say could be saved, but must be saved. God chose His words on purpose. And He says there's no other name given among men under heaven that we could go to except for Jesus, because we must be saved by Him and Him alone. In Matthew chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. If anyone makes any other choice other than Jesus, we've made the wrong choice. People make all sorts of choices when it comes to salvation. They say, well, I want to handle it myself. Let me be good. Let me go to church. Let me be baptized. Let me put it in my own hands. Let me try as hard as I can try. But ladies and gentlemen, that's the wrong choice to make. That choice will get you nowhere. That choice will not get you to heaven. But that choice says God isn't worthy. You think you're better. I think I'm better. When I make that kind of choice, I'm saying I'm better than the Almighty God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know better! And you're not choosing Jesus. We need to choose Jesus because He is the only way to salvation. If anyone makes a choice other than Jesus, we make the wrong choice. You'll have to live with that wrong choice all through eternity if that's the choice that you make. Let me illustrate it with the rich man in Luke chapter 16. I'm going to read for you Luke chapter 16 verse 20 through 26. If you want to follow along in your Bible, you may. But I'm going to read Luke chapter 16 verses 20 through 26. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried away, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Here this man is still suffering, still burning, still in torment, still has a great thirst that can never be quenched. Why? Because he made a choice. He chose his own way rather than God's way. He made thousands of years ago, he made a decision to not choose Jesus. And when we don't choose Jesus, it's an eternal decision that never goes away. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 8 and 9 says this, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. If you make any other choice other than Jesus, then you must live with your choice for all of eternity. Jesus wants you to choose Him as your Savior. He wants you to serve Him or choose Him. He does everything He can for us to choose Him as our Savior. He's made the path plain. He's opened the doors wide. For whosoever will, He said, can come. In Luke chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we see that Jesus pleads for Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would I gather thy children together as a hen doth gathereth her brood under her wing, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me till the day cometh, when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The inhabitants of Jerusalem had made a decision to live without Jesus. They refused Him as their Savior. They made their choice not to accept Him, to reject Him, and to choose hell. So the question is, have you made your choice? Have you chosen Him? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says this, For He hath said, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Have you chosen Him as your Savior? 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 21 says, And Elijah came unto the people and said, How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long do people have to sit on a fence, not knowing whether to choose Jesus or not to choose Jesus? Oh, but I go to church. It doesn't say anything about choosing a church. But I believe in this religion. It doesn't say anything about a religion. But I've been baptized. It doesn't say anything about being baptized. It talks about choosing Jesus Christ. How long halt you between two decisions? I don't know about you, but I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. The second choice, number two. Second choice. We need to choose Jesus as our Lord. We need to choose Jesus as our Lord. We need to choose Jesus as our Lord. Jesus wants you to choose Him as your Lord. In John chapter 10, verse number 10, A thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. There's a lot of controversy over the subject of the Lordship of Christ. Some argue that that you can't be saved without making Him Lord. Others insist that decision comes following salvation. I don't want to get into that discussion. I know this, that Jesus asked His disciples a question. And here's what they said in verse 66. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I don't know how to discern between the word disciples in verse 66 and the word 12 in verse 67. Maybe disciples in verse 66 weren't saved. I don't know. I know this, that if they were saved, they decided not to follow Him anymore. I also know that making that decision would indicate to me that Jesus was not Lord of their life at the moment they made that decision. I believe you can be saved and not let Jesus be the Lord of your life. What's it mean to be the Lord of your life? That means allow Him make the decisions in your life moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, decade by decade, a lifetime of letting Jesus make the decisions for you rather than you make the decisions for yourself. Our moment by moment decisions will prove whether or not He's Lord of our life at the time we make that decision. You can't choose to make Him your Lord, because God already did that. You cannot choose to make Him Lord, I should say. You can't choose Him to make Him Lord because God already did that. He is Lord. Now whether we allow Him to be Lord or not, that's the question. But it's already there. It's already settled. God made Him Lord. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, it says it very plainly. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. So we can't make Him something already that He already has. But we can accept Him as our Lord. Oh, I've accepted Him as my Savior, yes, but does He make the decisions in your life? There's a huge difference between following Him and knowing Him. The disciples knew Him, but they turned their back on Him and they decided not to follow them. There are 12 left. He looks at them and says, will you too not follow me? Are you going to go away? Are you going to turn your back? Are you going to quit? When you turn your back on following Jesus, He's no longer the Lord of your life. Doesn't say you're no longer saved. He's just no longer Lord. You can do anything you like. And it will not affect the fact that God has made Him to be both Lord and Christ. Every person in the world can reject Him. And He'll still be Lord and Christ. Every pulpit in the world can denounce Him. And He'll still be Lord and Christ. He is Lord whether we choose Him or not. God pronounces Jesus both Lord and Christ, and we cannot change that. But is He Lord over your life? Who's in charge of you? It's easy to say that as a child, that we have somebody in charge of us. It's our parents. Our parents make all the decisions for us. They decide what time we get up, what time we go to bed, what are we going to eat, whether the lights will be on, what the temperature of the house are going to be, where we're going to go, where we're going to stay, how we're going to do things. Children make very few decisions. And that's what we're supposed to be, a child. We're supposed to be the child of Christ. The child of God. But we want to be the dictators of our life. We want to be the decision maker. We don't want anybody else to make our decisions for us. The choice then is for you and me. We must make that decision ourselves. Listen, no one can choose Jesus to be Lord in your life except for you. Your parents can't make that choice for you. You have to make that choice. Your spouse can't make that choice for you. You have to make that choice. Your friends can't make that choice for you. You must make that choice. Your church can't make that decision for you. You must make that choice. Jesus won't even make that decision for you. You must make your own choice. You must choose as I must choose. We must individually choose to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Just as I personally chose to accept Christ as my Savior. Just as you personally decided whether or not to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. No one can make that decision for you. You must make your own decision when it comes to making Jesus Lord of your life. He wasn't Lord of David's life, all of David's life, but there was a time when He was Lord. The mighty King David, the man who is listed, a man after God's own heart, he must have chosen to make Him Lord at some time in his life, but He wasn't Lord during His affair with Bathsheba. Was he saved? Yes. But he wasn't Lord at that time because the Lord wouldn't have led David to commit that sin with Bathsheba. The decision to allow God to control and direct his life came later for him. So the question comes, is he our Lord? Is he my Lord? Is he your Lord? We can't turn our backs on him and still be following him. Will you go away? The question is asked. You must make the choice. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. We'll put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know what that means? You must make a choice. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That means you must choose Christ as Lord of your life. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury that dead. You know what that means? You must choose to allow Christ to be your Lord or not. It's a choice we must individually make. Where else is it says that we must make that choice? Philippians chapter 2. I'm glad you asked that question. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now the question then becomes, is He Lord of your life right now? Is He in control of your life right now? Who is making your decisions for your life on a daily basis? On an hourly basis? On a minute basis? On a moment by moment basis? You say, well, how can I do that? Well, Wednesday nights, our Bible study on the book of Proverbs teaches us plenty of things about how God gives us the right information to trust Him with those decisions of life. You say, oh, I want to be in control. I don't want anybody else to make my decisions for me. I want to be in charge. Well, then you've made your decision. And your decision is not to trust Christ as your Lord. Oh, you may have trusted Him as your Savior, but you've decided not to trust Him as the Lord of your life. I don't know about you, I've made a choice. I choose Jesus. I may not always be perfect at it, but my choice is I choose Jesus. I want everything I have in life to make a decision for Him. And when you make, let Him make your choices for you, guess what? You can't go wrong. Number three, the third area of choices. Jesus chose you. Jesus chose you. In Luke chapter 23, verse 35 through 37, and the people stood beholding the rulers also with them, deriding Him, saying, He saved others, let Him save Himself. And He being Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was also written over Him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were railing against Him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. While Jesus was doing all this, He never said a word. You know what He was saying? I choose Doug. I choose Doug. I choose Emmanuel. I choose Maria. I choose Eva. I choose Beatrice. God chose you and me. It was a decision that He made on purpose, choosing us individually. He took all that suffering and all that jeering, all that deriding. Deriding means sneering and ridicule and mocking. He took all that pain that was inflicted and He took it all for me because He chose me. We've been adopted into Christ. He chose us. He chose me before I ever chose Him. There was nothing about me that was attractive, yet He loved me and chose me. He loved me and gave Himself for me. He didn't get much in return, by the way. I got the best end of the bargain. If I had to do it all over again, I'd choose Him again. If He had to do it all over again, you know what? He'd choose me again. He chose you too. He would die over and over again just for you. That's how much He loves you. How can we continue to turn away from Him then? Why is it so hard for us to say, I choose Jesus? Why is it so hard to give Him the reins of your life and my life? I love what it says in Joshua 24:15. I read it earlier. I'm going to read it again now. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, in my house, I'll serve the Lord. So the question is, choose you this day, whom will you serve? Will you allow Him to be your Savior? Will you allow Him to be your Lord? Will you allow Him to be your master? Will you allow Him to have control of your life and make your decisions for you. As I get older, I get tireder. One of the things I grow weary in is making decisions. There's so many decisions in life. Can I tell you how to take care of that? Let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. Simple truth, but very important.